Today's scripture reading comes from Luke 8, verses 40 through 48, and can be found on page 1021 of your pew Bible. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told him why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord.
As is often the case in Scripture, this episode has a number of sort of fascinating things about it. There are three people in this story, and I'm going to touch on one of them and emphasize two of them. The three people are Jairus, the important person in the synagogue who comes to Jesus. There is the woman who has this bleeding problem, and of course, there's Jesus himself. I'm going to focus, as I said, on the woman and Jesus, but let me say something about Jairus, because there's something about Jairus that's important in the story. The whole episode begins when Jesus returns to this area, and Jairus, this man from the synagogue, who's an important man in the synagogue, he has some official capacity, he's a religious leader, comes to Jesus, falls on his knees, and begs Jesus to heal his daughter, his 12-year-old daughter. What's important about this is that Jairus is a somebody. He's an important person in the community. Jesus, in a short while, will heal this woman who is a nobody. She has no standing in the community. People don't respect her. She's an outcast. It's important to note that Jesus responds to both of them. If you know the story of Jesus, you know full well that he has a special knack for attracting those people in society who are outcasts, who other people do not value or respect or love. Those people come to Jesus, and the Gospels are full of those stories. But it's also true that if Jesus welcomes nobodies, he also is willing to welcome somebodies. I say that to you because we need to understand that the acceptance of Jesus, his willingness to embrace people, heal people, respond to people, covers all levels of society. Jesus will have his problems with religious leaders. He will be critical of them, and they will be critical, severely critical of him. But when one comes to him, he responds. He responds to the need, to the desperate need of Jairus. His daughter is dying. And Jesus does not say, "I'm sorry, you're not the kind of person I typically respond to." But he does. Basic, important lesson. Jesus responds to people. Not because of who they are or are not, but because they're people who come to him. We're going to look at the woman and Jesus. And I'm going to say some things about that episode. I want you to know that where we're headed is this, I think. At the end of the sermon, I want to give you an opportunity to think seriously about your relationship to Jesus Christ. This woman comes to Jesus. And the manner in which she comes and the manner in which Jesus receives her is important to us, because it applies to us. We might very well be in some ways like this woman. that we might in some ways need to fight through our own particular crowd, whatever makes up that crowd. We may be afraid to come to Jesus because there's something in us that says, you know, he might not think much of that. At the end of this sermon, I want you to think about those things. I'm going to ask you to think about those things and make a decision about trusting God's love expressed in Jesus Christ for you, that you can come to Jesus. Whoever you are, whether you're a somebody or a nobody, whatever you've done, whatever might be keeping you from trusting, obeying Jesus. That's where we're headed. All right, about the woman. She has a need. She's had this bleeding problem. It could be a feminine problem, menstrual bleeding. It doesn't tell us that, but whatever, it's bleeding. And that in itself is reason enough to have her become an untouchable. Because she's bleeding, people cannot be around her. Her family cannot be around her. They cannot touch her. Because by touching her, they themselves become unclean. She truly is a nobody. She has no standing, no value in society. We are told in the Gospel of Mark that she'd heard about Jesus. So she comes to the scene described in Luke. She is thinking to herself, if I could just touch the edge of his garment, maybe then I would be healed. That's a record in Mark. She makes her way through the crowd, and as Luke says, the crowd was pressing upon him. The crowds almost crushed him. She comes up behind him. She doesn't get in front of him. She doesn't stop his progress. He's on his way somewhere else. And the crowd's around him, so she sneaks up behind him. Why would she do that? Why doesn't she just step out in front? Jesus! Why doesn't she call out to Jesus like Bartimaeus and others? Jesus! She sneaks up behind him. Why? Because she's a nobody. She's worse than a nobody. She has no place. She, in her mind, has no right to come up to Jesus. And I suspect she's afraid. If he sees me, if somehow he knows who I am, he might reject me. He might not heal me. But if I come up behind him, if I sneak up on him before he knows who I am and I touch the edge of his garment, maybe then I'll be healed. So she does. She touches the edge of his cloak, his robe, his clothes. Maybe she grabs one of the tassels that maybe Jesus was wearing. And immediately it says, she was healed. She had tried to be healed before. Yeah, interesting little thing about this story. Mark, the Gospel of Mark has this story as well. And Mark says that she spent all her money trying to be healed. And she spent it on doctors. One commentator with tongue in cheek, I think, said, isn't it interesting that Luke does not give us that detail? Luke in the New Testament is described as a doctor. He doesn't tell us that this woman spent all her money on doctors. I wonder if that was Luke's professional courtesy applying. Anyway, interesting sideline. So she's healed immediately. I don't know how you feel about that, but when I read that, I'll be honest with you, I feel kind of offended. You know, it's not supposed to work that way. That sounds like superstitious. It's superstition. It sounds a little bit like witchcraft. It's not supposed to work that way. And I think to myself, well, you know, it just happened this time, et cetera, et cetera. But no. Again, from the Gospel of Mark chapter 6. And wherever he went, Jesus, into villages, towns, or countrysides, they begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. I have found no good explanation for this, but I have come to a conclusion about it. I think I react this way because it doesn't fit my mindset of a modern person. I think to myself as a person of this century, you know, this isn't right. Jesus has done this wrong. He should have said to the woman, no. That doesn't work. That might feel like superstition to people. No. That doesn't happen. The woman is healed. I'll tell you why in a bit, but she's healed. And I want to make a general point about that. Jesus does it his way. Maybe if Jesus was walking today in Bellevue, Washington, wearing a long leather coat, and if people thought to themselves, you know, if I just touch this, his coat, I'll be healed. Maybe today that wouldn't happen. Maybe. I don't know. But it did happen then. And we just need to, I just need to take the approach that that's how Jesus did it. And Jesus will do it his way. He's not responding. He's not healing this person. He's not allowing his power to heal this person because that's the way Mike Guerrero would do it, or it would be a way Mike Guerrero would approve of. It's how he did it. The Gospels are not apologetic about it. They don't say, we know this is kind of weird, but this is what happened. None of that. It's what happened. It's how Jesus did it. That applies as well today. Jesus does it as Jesus wants to. In your life, in my life. We might say, you know, I'd rather you did it some other way. I would rather you affected my thinking, affected my life. I'd rather you loved me this other way. But Jesus does it as Jesus will. Jesus does it as Jesus does it. The woman is healed. She snuck up behind Jesus. She's healed. She's afraid that maybe he will not. I'm thinking that she's afraid that he will reject her. So she comes up from behind. By the way, after the healing, Luke says that after Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" And there's this exchange between him and the disciples. And it seems that Jesus is insistent, "Who touched me?" And the woman understands that she cannot sort of melt back into the crowd. It says that she's trembling when she comes back to Jesus. When she responds to the question, "Who touched me?" she's trembling. She's healed and she's trembling. Maybe she's trembling because this thing is so impossible. So beyond her imagination, even though she wanted it desperately, it happened, and she's trembling. Or maybe she's trembling because she's afraid. Afraid he will take it back. After all, I snuck up on him. Maybe he wants to know who touched his cloak because he wants to take it back. I didn't do it right. Maybe he wants to take it back. But in fact, that's not why Jesus wants to know who touched him. I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but why is he asking? Shouldn't he know? I mean, he's, after all, Jesus, the Son of God. I don't know. It's just that he asks the question. And the woman comes forward. Important sort of observation. Jesus will not let her be anonymous. He will not let her be a nobody. She is something new now. You know who she is now? Apart from being a person who's been healed of this disease and of being an outcast and discarded, apart from that, she's somebody else. And Jesus gives her this identity. He says to her, daughter. Not woman. Not formerly bleeding woman. Not healed woman. Daughter. Daughter. Not someone who disturbed me. Not someone who took power from me. I don't know how that works. But daughter. You might as well have embraced her. Daughter. That's how it is with Jesus. We come to him. I'm daughter. We become son, child. I want to have you think about all of that. I want you to think about the fact that the woman had to make her way through the crowd. There were people in her way to get to Jesus. I want you to think about those things that are in your way from following Jesus. Either following him more faithfully or following him at all. I want you to think about the things that are in your crowd, in your way, that stand between you and Jesus, that are hampering your trusting him. It could be something that you've done, or possibly more likely something you have not done. It could be a grudge you're holding, and you know God wants you to deal with that. It could be you haven't asked for forgiveness from someone you offended and hurt, and you know you did. It could be something you do in secret and you do not want anyone else to know about it, but it keeps you from trusting, following Jesus as you know you can and should. It may be that you're overly concerned about what people think about you, and you want to please them and not Jesus. I want you to think about those things. What's the crowd that stands between you and Jesus? I want you to think about the fact that she came to Jesus from, first of all, from my perspective, from sort of the wrong direction. She snuck up on him. And her theology, I don't think, was right. She didn't have a good, clear understanding of who Jesus was and is. I mean, she got no instruction. She just needed Jesus. And he took her that way. He didn't correct her. He didn't expect a full doctrinal statement from her. She just came to him, and he accepted her. he healed her. Now, it's important that you know more about Jesus. Let's keep that in mind. But don't let what you don't know about Jesus and God keep you from trusting in Jesus, being a servant of God. You can come. You can come to Jesus. You can work your way. You can fight your way. You can push your way through the crowd, whatever your crowd might be. I'm going to invite you to think about that. I'm going to spend some time in quiet. I want you to think about that. What's my crowd that's keeping me from Jesus? Confess those things. Confess those people, if it's people. Maybe it is a past hurt. Maybe it's someone who mistreated you in the church, gossip about you, whatever it might be. I'm inviting you to fight through that crowd. Or maybe you've never trusted in Jesus. And that crowd is not merely in your way. It's blocking your way. I invite you this morning to take that step and understand that Jesus will come to you and you can trust him. Let's spend some time in quiet. Let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to spend some time in quiet. And then the worship team is going to lead us in a song. I'll say more about that in a bit. Let's spend some time in quiet. What is the crowd that Jesus wants you to push your way through? Thank you, Father, for the truth that we do not have to have it all together. We don't have to know everything. It could be, Father, that we feel we have to sneak up on Jesus. And we can. Thank you for all that. And may it be that we here today together have been honest with you, because you already know us. There's nothing we can say to you that will alarm you or shock you or surprise you even. You know all about the crowd. You know all about the things that keep us from trusting you and being faithful as you want us to be. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we come to you. Amen.